We're all connected.
Hi, Tuttles.
Regular Tuttles is back.
Yep. Well, Tuttles.
Hi, Dark Bear.
Hiatus.
Yeah.
Roar! But the Christmas themed Tuttles will probably come out about late November, I guess, and run till December 23rd, I guess.
We'll see.
Hey, does anybody want coffee?
Oh.
Who wants coffee?
God,
I just made a fresh
me.
Pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? Does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee?
Oh my goodness. Hi, Lions Fiver. Hi, Nana. Welcome. And I already roared at Mr. Dark Bear. I hope you're doing good in the woods. I hope you're doing good in the woods.
Feeling good in the woods.
Ooh, there you go. Feeling good down in the woods.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dita Joe and Eric, coming to you live from across the United States of America. All the way from the West Coast to the Southern East Coast, and a little stop in Colorado.
Aww, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Thank God for another day. Hallelujah.
You are welcome, Nana. Good to see you. Good to see you all. Hi, Barbara. Welcome. Hi, Bobby. Good to see you again. Man, I took I call it an energy because it gives me energy. It really does. That ginger. I almost wrote booby. Sorry, Bobby. That ginger turmeric shot with pepper in it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's just like, whoa.
Slow down, girlfriend.
I know.
Slow down. I know. You sound
all kinds of energy.
You sound like you're full of energy. Your battery's charged this morning.
It is.
I mean, you were already up running around right as I got up. I get a message from I got a message from Dina Joe this morning. I'm at Safeway, I'm only doing this and that and this and that. And I'm like, I just try to get my eyes to open, man. Like the Energizer Bunny this morning.
We miss you too. We miss you too. Glad to have you back. I know. I just took the shot because I couldn't take it when I was out getting my blood work done. I had to So I had to come home and take it real quick. So I just took it like 15 minutes ago, and it was like, pow, it just hit me. Woo!
Yes, it does. And it's
I'm all ready to nubby knocker-upper. You're right, Tuttles. Thank you, Tuttles.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, she is. Bam!
Who needs to be knocked up this morning? See how great that sounds?
It does. I like that term. I like that. I'm all for bringing that back. The way it was meant to be in the 1700s.
Back in the olden days.
Yeah, the olden days. Bring it
back. We're
not
talking about, we're talking about in the olden days, they used to go and knock people over the head when that was their alarm clock, and the people were called knocker-uppers.
They wouldn't knock them over the head, Dina.
Hi, Jay, baby. Oh, they wouldn't?
Not knock them over the head, no.
I would.
No, there was a group of people there's a group of people that used to go down the street and they would throw little rocks at your windows, your bedroom windows, to wake you up. Yeah, that's how you put them to sleep, is knocking them on the head.
Well, you know? I guess you don't want me to be your knocker-upper then.
You're the knocker-downer. That is too funny, man. Yeah, a lot of energy. There feels like there's a lot of energy in the air. And I think it's because it's still all that. I think, you know, the sun plays so much a part of what's going on in this planet, you know.
Yes.
You know, there's bad things that happen when the sun has its burps, you know, and sends all that solar flare stuff and the solar activity events our way. There's a lot of bad stuff, but that happens on our electronics and all that stuff. But I think. That, you know, we as humans, we get a lot of good energy from that stuff, you know, because, you know, the sun's good for us, you know. And I think we get hit with some of that good stuff from the sun and, And it boosts us. It boosts us up, you know, because look at how it is when it's always cloudy. Like here in the Pacific Northwest, when it's always cloudy and that, people are, you know, they're humdrum. Oh, man, poor me. I'm going to eat some worms. But then when the sun comes out, it's like, bam, energy and all that stuff.
La, 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 la. Hi, Shonda.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm thinking. But you are, yeah. And then plus your energy is just bubbling over to everybody. You know, people with good energy give good energy. I swear. I mean, that's how it is.
I'm beaming out. My beams are coming out, everybody. Woo, watch out. There goes one. Duck.
I gotta go on mute for a second. Hold on.
We got him choking.
Yes, you have me choking. I'm going to cough and all that. Jeez, no way.
Hi, Jessica.
Ah, man. Woo. Woo, man. It's just good times.
I need to find my recipe again and repost it. Well, I don't know if it's... Wow, we could post it on the... Have it be the first one we post on the website. Or the...
That would be fantastic.
The inflammation. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be fun. That would be absolutely fun. You know what I need to do is I need to get that page on the webpage. I need to get that page made. And I'll just say, you know, like, well, something, made. Recipes or something.
Yeah.
And then you could go in, go to that page and right up in the right-hand corner, it says write something and you can write it and post it yourself.
Oh, awesome. And
hey, Mr. A.
Hi, Mr. A. How are Mr. whoever? A. I always say whoever. Who framed Roger Rabbit? Who framed Mr. A? Hi, Mr. A.
Man, who framed Mr. A? That's just terrible.
Get him.
That's just terrible stuff right there. But that's a good idea. That's a good idea, Dina Jo.
Yeah.
But one way or the other.
I have a lot of those recipes that Grammy sent me in my library on my computer, so they will be easy to just put them in there once you get it made.
Oh yeah, because all you'd have to do is cut and paste. Bam, bam. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not true. It's not that easy.
Yeah, sometimes with whatever's going on in the universe that's causing things to go down. Hi, code 2319. Yeah, it's what would happen if the computers went down everywhere.
Whoa. Well, no, you've got to put you got to build your block where you're going to write and all this and that. It's not as easy as like doing a Word document, I found out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but we can talk about that.
Yes.
So, but anyway, man, good times. But that does work. That energy drink does work because Grammy makes it here.
Does.
You know,
zaps you.
Yeah.
And it's full of good stuff. Everything in it is good for your body.
Oh, is it? It must be Diwali time in India. Remember that holiday? Diwali time, the festival of lights.
Yeah. Why?
Remember? I think it's
there's a bunch time. Of different. Let's see. Yeah.
Well, the reason I say that is because I just got another notice from Tammy. She's got another YouTube video out on her YouTube page. And it's unboxing Diwali gifts. I'll have to check that out later. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh.
But anyway. Oh, yeah. I love positive. I love positive, too. We do, too. We love positive stuff. I mean, it's the way it should be, you know.
It's good. Well, you know how it feels if you're around a bunch of people that are blah, blah, the world sucks, blah, blah. Or else you're around, la, 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 happy, happy, happy.
Woo-hoo!
What's going on? Let's tackle it.
Yeah, it rubs off on you. Emotions
Dave
rub
Nelson.
Off on you.
Welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'd rather walk into a room full of positive people, uplifted people, people having a good time, laughing and having a good time. Yeah.
I know. I would too. It would kind of freak me out at first because I'd be like, what the heck's going on here? But then I'd be like, yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, but there's something inside you. There's something inside you that you go, what's going on? What's going on? And then when you walk into a room where everybody's all miserable and down and at, the voice inside your head goes, get out, get out, get out, run.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, it's funny because I don't know, where were we at? We were, me and Grammy were someplace. We were someplace and there was a group of people that were just laughing and having a good time. And, you know, there are people out there that if they'd have been sitting there, they would have thinking, well, they're sure being obnoxious. They're all loud. And why are they being all loud? But me and Grammy are sitting there, we're smiling, we're going, man, those people are having a blast. You know, man, it makes me want to kind of want to go over and sit with them, you know?
Yeah.
We're laughing and having a good time. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and if I'm sitting with someone, they go, well, I don't know why they're so happy. Well, why don't you leave?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Why don't you leave instead of bringing it all down, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man, I wish I could get rid of this, whatever this cost.
Well, you just got rid of yourself, whatever you just did.
I muted it. So
I was like, whoa, whatever you just did.
I think it might be residual stuff, after effects from that black mold thing I cleaned up in my house. Yeah. Because I feel
like, by the way, Diwali starts tomorrow.
Oh, okay. It does start tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Oh, well,
Festival of Lights.
Well, tomorrow is already today in India.
That's true.
Yeah. Because they're 13 and a half hours ahead of us.
Tomorrow for us. It's right now for her. Festival of Lights. Called.
Festival of Lights, very colorful celebrations, because we looked into that last year, remember? Uh-huh. Man, that year has gone by. Man,
it really has. We were just saying yesterday, 2019 was kind of like, I'm sorry, 2020 was, and then 2021 came, and it just has gone by so fast.
Yeah.
So quickly.
It really has. It really has. And but man, it's good. I love your positive energy. It's just spreading out on everything. It's kind of giving me a rash right now, but it's good.
Well, I don't know if that's me.
I don't know why I got this rash, Doc. It's positive energy. You're not used to it.
He puts anything in his mouth and touches everything like, you know, a child. That's why. I don't know what it is. It's like a guy. I don't know. I don't mean most guys. I know you do it. Well, Aaron doesn't do it, but Lewis does it. And I've seen, like, you go to the store and they have to like touch everything.
Yep.
Hi, Tony. They got to touch everything. You know, it's like, okay. But you go beyond that. You stick poisonous things in your mouth. This looks tasty. Let me put this in my mouth. That's poisonous.
It just tastes, it tastes okay. Maybe that's why my tongue is stinging right now. I don't know. And another thing that guys do. Now, if a woman comes up to you, anybody and everybody, if a woman comes up to you and goes, hey, smell this. I can guarantee you it is going to smell good. You know, it's just going to smell good. You know, it's going to have a nice, pleasant aroma. When a woman goes, hey, smell this. And you go, oh, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, that's nice. That smells good. Yeah. If a guy comes up to you and says, hey, smell this, it's going to be gross.
Smell like farts or something terrible.
It's going to be gross. Yeah, it's going to be gross. Because I don't know why, but that's what we do. You know, we smell stuff. It makes it curls our nose and, you know, makes us almost pass out. And we'll go, hey, Bob, smell this. You know,
J-Baby does it too. Oh, thanks for letting me know. I will never smell anything you tell me to smell.
Ah, J-Baby. She's just one of the guys. I bet her and her husband, they do that all the time. They just smell. Hey, smell this. Yeah, but it's funny. We do, you know. We'll just smell that. It's just, I don't know what it is about it. We will. And we'll smell anything. You know, I mean, if we see something on the ground, you know, what's that? I don't know. You know, we'll pick it up. We'll smell it. Man, that's gross.
Gosh.
That's gross. Hey, Bob, smell this, will you? What do you think?
Poop. Oh, gross.
I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know. What was the last thing I smelled? It was something just a few days ago. It was, what's that on the ground? I don't know. You know, and I pick it up and
I'm not smelling it. I smell it.
What does it smell like? Grammy goes, what does it smell like? Oh, doesn't have a smell. You want to smell it? She goes, no, get that away from me. And then once she says that, the race is on. You know, I've got to chase her with it. You know, I just got to chase her down. And it's a race to the door. Who could get to the door?
I kick you.
She tries to trip me up as I'm going. Well, you know, she's been watching that hockey. She knows how to trip you up and
high
stick you and all kinds of stuff now, you know. Yeah. I don't know. What do you Lions survive? Just by talking to me, it's called hit flushes. I don't know. It's a joke. I don't know. I kind of miss what's going on in the chat room. but you know what I'm talking about. Everybody, you rock it. You should have faces. They're playing on the. You know, except for, you know, I say that, but Grammy does it when she's eating stuff. Now she'll be eating something, and it won't taste good to her. And she'll go, hey, you want a taste of this? But she's learned that she's got to watch the look on her face. Because when we were in England one time, when we were living in England, she tasted something. And I mean, man, her face just got nasty look on her face. Oh, yeah. And then she looks at me and she goes, hey, you want to taste this? It's like, no. Not after that look you had on your face. I don't want to taste it. That's crazy. And then so Grammy has learned that when she tastes something and it's kind of gross in that, she will cover the look on her face. She will try to be brave and put on a good face, you know, a good looking face and go, you know, so you want to taste this? No, because you don't quite look right. You know, you don't look right. You don't look like it's not like it's tasting good for you, you know, so that kind of stuff, you know, so, you know, she tries to fake me out, but it doesn't work because I always keep an eye on her when she's eating stuff that's brand new that she's never had before. Mm-mm-mm. You ain't going to get me to taste that nasty stuff. I'll smell it, but I ain't going to taste it, man. Hey, so where's everybody? Dita Joe, where'd you go? Eric, Dita Joe, where's everybody?
I'm in the process of making coffee right this moment.
Was muted. Everybody left me
I
here.
I didn't even know I was muted. I was like laughing the whole time and responding to you. And I don't know how long I've been muted for. I must have hit that by mistake.
I didn't even hit the crickets. Do I have the cricket sound still going on this? Oh, I took the crickets off. I have to pull them and put them back on the list. I got them. I just got to put them back on the list. Yeah. Crickets. I could have hit you with the crows. You know, one time I got up in the morning and I got up to fire. I fired up all the equipment and everything. I put my headsets on, turn on the mics and everything. And I'm sitting here and I hear this. And I'm thinking, did I hit the crow?
Oh, God.
Did I hit the crow button? My mic was picking up the crows out in the front yard. Yeah. There you go. Get out of here. And so I yelled at him. Get out of here.
That's funny. We've had so many Blue Jays this year. It's crazy.
Really?
Ever since you killed that one in Oregon, you snapped its poor little neck. I think they all flew out here to Colorado.
It was on accident, everybody. It was on accident. Sure, Lion Survivor. You betcha. But you know, we saw some at the end of, you know, towards going into fall, but I haven't seen any more. Hey, Lion Survivor's on the line.
Hi. Hi, Dina. Hi, everyone.
Thank you
for letting me on for a little bit.
What's going on?
I'm just chilling out at home right now.
Oh, yeah? Chilling at home?
Yeah. Just in my apartment, just chilling out.
Oh, good.
What time is it there?
I have my own apartment now, so yeah, I'm just relaxing.
What time?
Just listening in.
What time is it there?
It's 20 past 2 in the day.
Let's see, are you in? Oh, you got a bad echo.
No, I'm living in Ireland, so yeah.
Ireland.
It's 20 past two in the day. I'm originally from Dublin, but I'm living outside Dublin right now, County Meath. So, yeah, it's 20 past two in the day. So, yeah, nice. It's early in the day.
Well, nice.
Yeah, it nice. Is nice. I'm overlooking my fields and my. I have an apartment that overlooks the fields and the trees and the birds.
Oh, how
and,
beautiful!
Wow, it's so good. Like, and especially in the summertime when the sun goes down.
Nice cruise camping. Uh-huh. Welcome.
Yeah, it's yeah. beautiful over there. Beautiful over there.
Yeah, my mom passed away. My mom passed away at 76 years of age 3 years ago, so she left me this apartment. So
nice.
I'm very blessed and very lucky, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have it going on. I'm just working away and saving money, you know, paying bills.
Good for you.
That's what you
gotta do. It is really hard. I miss her so much, but you know, she got me the apartment, you know, because she loved me that much. I'm 41, like I'm the third youngest born in my family. I have an older brother and sister, but neither of us are talking right now because of the way my mom died. She died very suddenly. Wow. Unexpectedly. Wow. She was
sorry
sick,
about
but
that.
Like,
sorry about that.
Yeah, no, it's all right. It's just been hard, but it's getting kind of easier, but it's still hard. But yeah. I still talk to my brother, yeah. though. But just not my sister. I don't know what's going on with her, but anyway.
Right. Right.
Well, got things change in families.
Got a bad echo going on there.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so we're going to cut you loose. But listen, thanks for calling in and giving us a report. It's good to hear from you and how good things that are going
yeah.
on.
Yeah, I have my earphones, but
stay positive.
All right. Well, we'll talk at you later. Thanks for calling.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Bye, Survivor. Talk to you later.
Bad echo. Echo one. You know, I never made it to Ireland when I lived there. Dag nabbit. I wanted to go to Ireland so bad. But I didn't. I was afraid immigration was going to catch me and send me
Oh,
home.
Yeah. You did not have that paper, the papers.
Well, I had my passport, but I didn't have a work visa. And they went ahead and said, okay, look, we're going to let you stay in the country for 6 more months, but then you got to leave. And I had already been there like, almost 2 years. So, and then I go, you know, and it's like, I wanted to go to Ireland. Do you have to have a passport to go to Ireland? I didn't know. I didn't know. And I didn't want to take the chance because you don't want immigration mad at you.
No. Yeah.
Especially yeah, did we have a 2-bedroom or a 3-bedroom? Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. We had a 2-bedroom flat with all full of furniture and all kinds of stuff there.
Oh gosh.
And then they ain't going to let you go pack up. They're going to send you, they're going to put you on a plane now, put you on a plane and send you home now. You can't go get nothing. So couldn't take the chance, but, Man Cave. What was Man Cave on the show yesterday? He was on the show yesterday, wasn't he?
He was fishing.
Magnet fishing, yeah. He sent me a picture of where he was at. Absolutely beautiful. Good grief.
You have to share.
I will.
Makes me feel like you're there. So pretty.
It does. That's a beautiful, that's a beautiful picture. And that canal running right there on the UK and England, Ireland, Scotland. I mean, those are just that's a beautiful place to be. Beautiful, beautiful place to be. Just absolutely gorgeous. And yeah. But then winter's coming though. It gets cold there in the winter. Hey, Royalty Rollers. Good to see you guys. Shea Butter, good to see you. We're all fine. We're having a good time. We're laughing and giggling and having a good time. Hey, I was looking at this thing. I found this article that said the weirdest cooking advice from the past 100 years. And it says, like the number one thing was from 1896, how to build a fire for your stovetop.
Yeah.
Well, there's no way no people ain't building fires for their stovetops nowadays, but this is what was in there. And no one should be building a fire in their kitchen today. But in Fannie Merritt Farmer's 1896 Boston Cooking School cookbook.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. Let me say that again. This is a cookbook. The 1896 Boston Cooking School cookbook. And you know what? That book is still available today on Amazon. You could go to Amazon. You could buy this book for $26.23. I mean, that, I'm thinking about buying it because I, can you imagine what's in this cookbook from the eight, you know, basically 1896?
But I know Tuttle's has, well, I remember him saying when we had our last cooking show when we were talking about his wife having a cookbook that she does a lot of, like the old cooking. He had a lot of, like, tips from it. Couldn't speak all of a sudden. Yeah, and I'm wondering what book that they have, too.
I don't know.
Survivalist kind of thing or something. Hi, the only crazy lady.
I'm going to have to try it. We should try and see if we can't find a webpage that shows the stuff that's in this book, because it would be great to look at.
Yeah.
So anyway, some of the things that they're talking about, you know, one is how to build a fire. Yeah, we don't build fires in stoves anymore. And measuring ingredients by the handful.
God, I don't even know.
It says before Fanny Farmer introduced precise and calculated measurements for her recipes, many cookbooks simply used by the pinch or by the handful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I read that, I was thinking back when my mom, when I was a little kid, my mom was cooking and baking and all that stuff.
Hi, Phillips. Welcome. Yes.
I don't think I don't really recall seeing my mom using measuring spoons and cups a lot. You know, she'd pour stuff in her hand. It's almost like she knew how much to pour in her hand for a cup, or she knew how much a pinch was, you know, a pinch was a teaspoon or, you know, whatever. She knew all that stuff. But, man, it would really be interesting to see how close someone is, someone that's cooking, that cooks like by a pinch or a handful and that kind of stuff. How close are they to the actual measurements? I bet you they're pretty darn close.
Well, look at chefs when they cook.
Yeah.
You know, you're watching them on TV. A lot of, they're just pouring stuff in because they can see that. Oh, I see it. He has the Pioneer Cookbook. And is that the one that came with the Boston Cookbook? If you go down. No, the other one is the First American Cookbook. Okay. He has Pioneer Cookbook by Ruth Stone, the Pioneer Mill. It looks old.
Sounds old.
I bet it has some cool stuff in it. Thank you, Tuttle. Oh,
I bet it does too. Yeah.
I'm gonna that up.
So that was interesting that they didn't use measuring cups in that. They just pinched stuff, you know. They also recommended in the 1920s that you use two knives when you're cutting up a pineapple. One of the most in demand exotic fruits in the 1920s was the pineapple. People were told not to use the same knife to cut the inside of the fruit as you used to peel it, as the peel contained acids that'll cause a sore or swollen mouth. Whoop, dum, dum. Nobody knows if that's still a fact or not. I don't know. Have you seen the thing that's going on about pineapples where you twist the little?
I have one.
You have one what?
You twist the top of it and it goes down and it cuts it. It cuts the pineapple
for you. Oh, yeah. But what I was talking about is you twist that top off and then you roll the pineapple on a surface. You roll it and roll it and roll it. And then you kind of bang on it, and you should be able to pull those little sections right out of the pineapple, right from the side. You should be able to grab
those little pokey things.
Yeah, you should be able to grab it and pull that whole section of pineapple out. I mean, it comes out like in little cubes. I've never tried it. I want to buy a pineapple and try it and see if that works.
So it actually peels it. You're saying it not only takes off the pokey part, but it takes off the hard part underneath it, and then you're right at the fruit.
No, it pulls the fruit out, the little section of fruit out. It pulls it out. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Hi, Trader Joe.
We'll have to check it out. We'll have to check it out and see. But that was interesting.
Huh.
I don't know. I've been wanting to buy a pineapple and try it, but I've never done it.
I've never heard of it before.
I've seen several different videos of different people doing it. And I'm thinking, man, does this really work? I don't know. I'll have to try it. I'll have to try it. I'll try it and give you a report. How's that?
There you go. And you don't even have to eat anything.
Oh, man. Well, no, I'll have to eat the pineapple. Yeah. Oh, see, J-Baby says she's seen it and she'll send a Dina Joseph send you interesting. The video.
Welcome back, Tulin.
In the 1920s, the one thing they used to do is, you know, the Jell-O wasn't the only thing for – Jell-O wasn't so just gross. For dessert. Yeah. So a 1920 menu sponsored by Jell-O featured dishes like a gelled raw vegetable salad, a gelled cabbage relish, and gelled corned beef loaf. Yeah, they put everything in Jell-O. And,
this thing looks disgusting.
That does look nasty, that salad they're showing
here. It looks like a loaf of, I don't know. The eggs, the hard-boiled eggs don't look bad going around it, but I don't know what's in that.
I don't know either.
It's a surprise.
I don't know either. But you know what? I'd try it. Oh, yeah, whoa, I'd got a big old slice of that thing would. In it.
Welcome, ZSPP.
Well, remember, yesterday I told you my mom used to make that.
Yes, I know, the green Jell-O.
Yeah, I'd try that. I'd try all of it. I'd try the corned beef loaves, too. I'd try it. I'd give it a shot. You know me, I'd try it.
Gross.
This is what cracks me up when they're talking about sour milk. In the 1920s, save sour milk with baking soda. People didn't cry over sour milk in the 20s. They simply stirred some baking soda into the milk to sweeten it up enough to make it drinkable.
Oh,
how gross, so gross is that? That is so gross. I say no. I say no to that. And another thing they did in the 20s to preserve milk was they'd put horseradish in it.
Oh.
Are you kidding me? A spoonful of horseradish will supposedly keep
gross.
Sweet milk fresh, but it will also completely change the taste of the milk, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. Who wants to do that? That's crazy. That's crazy. So a little bit off the topic, but horseradish. I saw this video. There's this video of this guy. I follow him. He eats all these hot peppers. I mean, he's eating the hot ones. You know, he's eating like the scorpions and the Deadpools. And, you know, he's eating all these super hot peppers. People send him peppers to eat and he's eating them. And, I mean, he eats them pretty good. I mean, you know, you don't see him, you know, his eyes aren't watering. I mean, some of them affect him. He goes, oh, yeah, this is hot. Oh, this is hot. And they ask him, how are you able to eat these peppers? And he goes, well, because I've built up a tolerance for them. So he's been eating hot peppers for a real long time. And so someone challenged him to eat some real wasabi. Real wasabi. Not the fake wasabi that you get from the sushi places, which is nothing but green horseradish. And this was what amazed me. When I watched him, he said, you know, I don't like horseradish. And I'm thinking, then why are you going to eat wasabi? You know, because wasabi's like a thousand times more potent than horseradish. So anyway, he pours this big old thing of wasabi in a spoon, and then he just shoves it in his mouth and eats it, and that affected him. You could see that really kind of tore him up. He's going, he goes, I can't breathe. I can't. Oh man, this is not like I thought. I'm thinking, well, because horseradish isn't a hot pepper, buddy. It's two entirely different things. But he swallowed it and he sat there for a while. He finally come back around. You know, he visited the gates of hell and came back. And he goes, oh boy, that sure cleaned my sinuses out though. I can breathe really good now. Yeah. Yeah. Wasabi is nice. Only crazy lady. I've got a tube of real wasabi here at the house because I like it too. But you know what? Real wasabi is very, very expensive too. It's real expensive. It's not cheap. And that's why when I go to get sushi and they have that little green horseradish there, you know, I'm thinking, well, that's not really wasabi, because the amount of wasabi, if they gave you that amount of real wasabi, they would charge you a fortune for that sushi, because that stuff is not cheap. But I thought that was interesting. He can't eat that wasabi. Good grief. Anyway, where was I? Where was I? Oh, in the 1930s, it says eat grapefruit to help with weight loss. Yeah, but, you know, that's still a thing today. You know, most.
Yeah, they always say that.
And I love grapefruit. Oh, I love some grapefruit in the morning.
Yeah, but a lot of people can't take it if they're on certain medications. You can't
take it.
Oh,
that's right.
Hi, Jill. Yeah, a lot of medications you're not supposed to, even supplements you're not supposed to take in high degree, either when you're having it at all or after like so many, like 30 minutes after or before, you have to pay attention to it. I don't know if it just makes it not potent or if it may, I don't know what it does.
Must be some kind of weird, maybe a chemical reaction with it or something, uh-huh. You know. I don't know, but I do.
Grapefruit.
Yeah. Love me grapefruit. Yeah, it's just good stuff. I like eating it. Grammy buys me by the case. He buys it already, already taken out, putting in little tiny cups. I like it with little tiny cups, you know, because then I can just pop it, drink the juice. Yeah, I like grapefruit. My mom used to serve us grapefruit when we were little kids. You know, she'd cut it in half, give us a little spoon. She'd put a little thing of sugar on the top of it. She'd sprinkle sugar on the top of the grapefruit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then we'd have to sit there with the spoons and dig the little wedges out.
Yeah.
Squirt our brothers and sisters with them. Try to angle those squirts right off the spoon so it hits them in the eye. Yeah. Grapefruit wars. Breakfast table grapefruit wars. Yeah. Yeah, but I do like me some grapefruit. Grapefruit's good. You know what I've always wanted to do, though, is buy one, peel it, and eat it like an orange. I'm tempted.
Like in sections, yeah?
Yeah. Now, my grandma and Grandpa Merck that lived in Phoenix, they had grapefruit trees in their backyard, as a matter of fact. No, we didn't have the jagged spoons, J-Baby. We just had regular little teaspoons. We just had the little teaspoons and had to dig that stuff out. Yeah.
Yeah. So just Tuttles, he has them too that have that little thing on the side.
Mm-hmm. But I like grapefruit. Grapefruit's good. Now, I didn't know this. Rebake stale bread in the 30s if your bread went stale, because the bread didn't have all the preservatives and that in it that it does have now, you know. So it says, it's no secret that money and food were tight during the Great Depression. If your loaf of bread went stale, there was a trick to bring it back to life, rebaking it.
Yeah.
First, you slice the bread into pieces and drizzle hot water over it. Then mash the bread up, reform it, and bake it. Oh, place it in the oven. Mash it up. Well, you're making new dough. Basically, you're making new dough is what you're doing. You're trying to make new dough. Oh. You pour water on it, get it all pasty and that, reshape it, put it in a pan, throw it in the oven, and bake it again. Twice baked bread. I guess it works.
See, Shonda says grapefruit with blood pressure lowers the medication, so it doesn't work. It doesn't work like it should.
Huh.
Yeah, a lot of medications, so be careful with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Blood pressure lowering properties. Oh! Well, I got high blood pressure. I need to eat grapefruit. I need to eat more grapefruit. I wonder, what? Well, she says grapefruit has blood pressure lowering properties. So if you got high blood pressure, you should be eating grapefruit. It helps lower your blood pressure.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. If they just use grapefruit, they might not need the meds. Yeah, see? There you go. Home remedies right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I agree with that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Oh, she says, but if on the meds, don't take it because the grapefruit might make your blood pressure go too low.
Too low. Okay. All right. That's why.
And Dr. Tuttle says, never eat grapefruit when taking anything with codeine or antibiotics.
See,
I remember the antibiotics things. Yeah.
Yeah. With codeine either. Interesting.
But you know, I always try it. They say, don't eat no grapefruit when you're taking these antibiotics.
My gosh. Oh, okay. You just want to see what might happen?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. Till you die, I hope you tell Grammy before you do it.
Get rushed to the hospital.
What happened to him?
He died. He died. Do an autopsy.
I have no idea.
I've always told Grammy if I just all of a sudden drop dead, have him do an autopsy on me so you can find out what caused it. And we did an autopsy on the old man. Found out, he ate grapefruit on those antibiotics. We told him not to.
Welcome.
What can I say? What can I say?
You need to stop that. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. Do some reading and before you do that, before you experiment with your body, do some research on what might happen. And then decide if you want to do it. And tell Grammy beforehand, I'm going to do this even though it says not to, and it's going to tell me it does all these things. I just want to see if it's really going to do it or not. So she can be prepared.
Yeah. Then she'd get mad at me and she'd call me by my real name. Then I know she's serious. Oh, here's one that you're going to really love, Dina Jo. In 1944, cook with Spam. Yeah, baby.
Oh.
Cook with Spam, they
your
said.
Your family will love it. Nah.
Spam, cooked and packaged pork, for those who are blessed to not know, made its way into the market in the late 30s. It was touted as a healthy and affordable meat. And Hormel ran ads for recipes to fry and or bake it. I didn't know about baking it. Yeah. You know, a little picture there with the onions, a little pie. It's probably a pork. It's probably a Spam pork pie right there.
Probably. Yeah. Look at it. See those big old chunks right there? Bam, bam, bam. See them? Those big old chunks? That's Spam.
But now you tried it, right? Remember, you tried some Spam on that one.
No,
did
I would have to say it was not bad. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't quite as gross as that you thought it would be.
No, yeah. I told you that bum. He scarred me from life from eating
that canned meat.
I was just like, oh, the way he was just sitting there, like looking at you and putting it in his mouth and opening up his mouth.
Geez.
I was just like, oh, no. Mm-mm-mm.
I think I'd have had to go out there and have a talk with him.
Tuttles, you've never tried it either? Human cat food, no thanks.
Oh, man, come on, Tuttles.
I mean, thought for sure with all your like,
prepping all, and all that.
Yeah, that you would have a can of that.
Because, you know, decades from now, the only two things that they're going to still be able to eat is Twinkies and Spam.
Oh, God. I think I would take the Spam as long as I could have some seasonings in a frying pan. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can cook it and make up all kinds of stuff. And then for dessert, you have Twinkies.
Instead of frying the bacon, we'd be frying the Spam.
I'm telling you, if you cut your Spam nice and thin and you put it in the frying pan with a little bit of bacon grease and you fry it up and get it crispy, I tell you, you're going to love it. It's like, oh, yeah, this is good. This is good. I'm telling you. All right. That does it. See, the next time we come visit you guys, I'm going to I'm going to make you those sandwiches that I make for Grammy, those breakfast sandwiches.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant that Spanish thing. I'm like, oh, no, you're not.
I'm going to make you guys the Jimmy Christos. Jimmy Christos, that's what Grammy calls them. Mm-hmm. The Jimmy Christos, the French toast, egg, and Spam sandwiches. I'm going to make those for you. Mm-hmm. You're going to love it. I'm telling you. You're going to love it. Oh, yeah. Cooking trout and salmon in bacon grease.
Bacon grease sounds really good.
Bacon grease is fun to cook stuff in. I'll bring you chicken liver pate.
Hi, Wilty Price.
Chicken liver pate. I don't think I've ever had it. I don't think I've had chicken livers, but I don't think I've ever had pate. No. That's that like dip stuff, right? I mean, it's like a dip.
I was thinking of that little devil can. What was that?
Oh, deviled meat. Oh,
what's
I
that
love
deviled meat.
Yeah.
store. It's in a little can, and it's like it has a little devil on it.
Oh man, you pop that open, put it in a can, mix a little mayonnaise and mustard in it, throw it on some bread. I'm telling you what, that's a good sandwich right there. Yeah, baby. I love that stuff. I used to always run up to the Circle K when I had a little bit of money and buy that deviled ham. And that's what it was called. Deviled ham.
Deviled ham, yeah.
Yeah, with the little devil on it. Yeah. Lots of sodium. You betcha. It was like a human salt lick. We don't have salt lick. Why don't they have salt licks for us, Daddy? Why don't they have salt licks for us? Oh, they do. It's called deviled ham spam.
See, I thought it already had like mayonnaise and stuff in that. That yuckiness in it.
Yuckiness.
I swore it did. Because it's called a spread. Deviled ham spread.
Yeah, it is.
That
means
it has stuff in it already.
It is spicy. It is spicy. It's got a little spice in it. It's got a little spice in it. But, man, I'm telling you, that's some good eating right there. I need to have Grammy go find me some deviled ham now.
Well, it's at every store.
You know, you mix that, throw that in the frying pan with some onions. Throw that in the frying pan with some onions and a little bit of garlic, bacon fat. Throw it in there, scramble it up with some eggs. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, man, I'm getting hungry now.
That's terrible for you. See, your next slide says, there in 1947, there's no bad food combinations. The 40s and 50s were an experimental time in the kitchen. That would be you.
Yeah. Yeah, but you go ahead and finish reading what they're saying there.
Oh, advances in transporting food meant more exotic ingredients were available. Enter Chiquita Bananas, a company that featured a recipe for ham banana rolls in one of its advertisements. Customers were advised to wrap slices of ham with mustard on them around bananas and top it off with cheese sauce. We guess we'll try everything once. Oh, gross.
Man, I'd eat that in a heartbeat. One, I love bananas. I love ham. Oh, yeah, I'd eat it.
I like them all, but I don't want them together. Hi, PDG.
Oh, me, man, I'd eat it. I would.
No.
Eat it.
Eric, would you eat that? I wouldn't eat it.
I'm not sure if I would.
Yeah, me neither. I don't think I would. Hi, Toby.
Eric passed out hearing about that.
Yeah, he's like, ew, gross.
Yeah.
Ham banana rolls. Gross.
That sounds good, man. And instead of using ham, you know what I would use? Spam. I would use spam. So I tell you, it's good.
Oh, Tuttles would have that over spam? Are you kidding? Oh, Tuttles. All right.
I'd have it with spam, Tuttles. All right. That's enough of that. Is there any other highlighted things there? When in doubt, add fruit. The next one. Always add fruit to it. You always put fruit. Apricots or pineapple on the top makes anything good. You know, whatever they're baking. Fruit.
Yeah. Who Framed Peter Rabbit says grilled pineapples and ham sounds way better. I agree with you, Mr. A.
Yeah. Wasn't that what they used to do with ham? They would bake it with pineapple slices and all that stuff on the top?
Yeah.
That's good stuff right there.
Yeah.
Okay, but see, people will eat that. They'll eat that grilled pineapples with ham and all that. But boy, don't try to put pineapple on a pizza. Everybody freaks out, you know.
Yeah, I don't understand. I think
pineapple's great on a pizza.
Welcome back, Dark Bear.
Hey, Kubella.
I think it is too. I just have to be in the mood for it.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't order it that way. I would just eat it if somebody ordered it. But
oh, no, I'd order it that way. I mean, no, if I wanted it, I'd order it because it comes with – usually I get a pizza with Canadian bacon on it and, I order it – I don't order it like with the regular pepperoni and all that stuff. I order it with Canadian bacon and, I make it ready like a Hawaiian pizza. I love it. I love that stuff. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I love fresh pineapple. If you can cut it and put it in a frying pan or even on the grill, and if you put a little brown sugar on it, oh my god, so good! Best dessert ever. So good.
The only other thing I wanted to mention on this list is it says don't think about cooking like cleaning. In other words, don't think about cooking like a household chore. You know, cooking is like an art. And I like that. I like when they said that, you know, cooking is like an art. Keep it an art. Don't make cooking a chore. And that way you experiment with all this stuff and you have fun with it. And you know, I like that. I like that. And that kind of came from some lady, Donna some Lucas. Lady. Yeah, some lady. Some lady said that. Hey, this is an art. This isn't a chore. Now eat your Spam pancakes. Let's go.
Another book that Tuttles sent me to, if anybody would like to look into it, it says Food as You Like It by Jane Ashley. So those are other books from to how to cook with, I think, just kind of like what you have around, you know, like they used to do in the olden days. What do you want for dinner? Well, let's see what we have.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Whatever we got. Yeah. We're still like that.
We still have like to that, use you know? This. We're using this, you know.
Yeah. She goes, what am I going to make for dinner tonight? Let's see. What do I have sitting around? What do we got? Let's see. You know, she takes an inventory of what she's got. And she goes, all right. I know what I'm going to make. I know what I'm going to make now. I've always told Grammy she'd be great on that show, Chopped. You know, where they open up the baskets and they get all this misarray of stuff they got to cook with. Oh, yeah. She'd be good at that. She can throw all kinds of stuff together. And it's always good. It always tastes good. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. So, Dana Joe, what do you think? You want to go into the today's music history?
Sure.
You ready? All right. Here we go. Let's do this.
You ready by the time you... Yeah. Gotta get on the right tape. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
5, 6, 7 o'clock, you know what time it is? Rock. It's time for Dana Joe today in music history. So get out there, order yourself up a couple of cheeseburgers with fries and a couple of root beer floats to wash it down with. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen, the hostess with the mostest, Dina Jo.
All right. Yeah. We're going to start November 3rd, this day in music history, with the year 1951, when Cold, Cold Heart by Tony Bennett hits number one on the Billboard Bestsellers chart. The song was first performed by Hank Williams the same year. The popularity of Bennett's version has been credited with helping to expose both Williams and country music to a wider national audience. William telephoned Bennett to say, "Hey, Tony, why did you ruin my song?" But that was just a prank. In fact, Williams liked Bennett's version so much, he always played it on the jukeboxes, if anybody knows what those things are, way back in the day. Here's Tony Bennett with Cold, Cold Heart.
Hey, Tony, thanks for ruining my song. That's hilarious.
I tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream.
You know, Tony Bennett is still alive today.
Yet
I love him.
You're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme.
This is Tony Bennett.
How young their voices.
Oh, yeah, this is from an early album.
Yeah.
This is from the Columbia Records album, the Columbia Singles, Volume 1. Tony Bennett, Cold, Cold Heart.
And melt your cold, cold heart.
Yeah, he was, he had a high voice. I mean, it was like a Neil Sedaka type high voice, you know.
And it's just gotten better.
A lot of these guys, a lot of these old singers in that, they were either baritones or tenors in the vocal range. Nice song, Tony Bennett.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's in the year of 1956. Elvis Presley's Love Me Tender replaces his Don't Be Cruel and Hound Dog at number one in the Billboard charts, making him the first artist to knock himself out of the first position, out of number one position. The song would go on to be featured in many films besides the film of the same name. The television shows such as FM, Touched by Love, This is Elvis, Porky's Revenge, Wild at Heart, Die Hard 2, Honeymoongers in Vegas, Beat Jack, Gandhi in the Afternoon, Machine Gun Molly, and The Princess Diary. A bunch of them. It's been in a bunch of them, to name a few. So here is Elvis Presley with Love Me Tender.
Talk about a baritone. Here you go.
Love me tender, love me sweet.
And this song takes me back to being a little kid.
Let me go.
Me too.
You have made my life.
Big Penny had all these Elvis hits on 45s, originals. I don't know if she still has them. Elvis Presley with Love Me Tender.
Tender, love me true.
Oh, Elvis. All right. We're going to go to the year 1956 now. Danny and the Juniors releases At the Hop. They are an American doo-wop and rock and roll vocal group from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In December 1957, they received a call from Dick Clark to be the last-minute substitution for a non-show band on American Bandstand, and they performed it for the national audience. Here is Danny and the Juniors with At the Hop.
Get your Bobby socks on and do some dancing.
I read it third.
At the Hop, Danny and the Juniors. Let's go to the hop. Let's go to the hop.
Oh, baby. Yep, I know. All right, 1962. The Crystals, He's a Rebel, hits number one for the first of 2 weeks. None of the actual groups appear on the track. When producer Phil Spectrum assembled his musicians to do his version of the song, the people couldn't show up, but the Crystals were there, 3,000 miles away. Oh, I'm sorry. The Crystals were 3,000 miles away, so he recruited the Blossoms, who are actually the girls who are actually singing the song, and that's Darlene Love, Fanta James, and Garcia Nitchet, who sung He's a Rebel. So there's kind of a little, like, you remember those guys? Who were those two? Milli Vanilli? Yeah, I don't understand, because that's kind of like what this is. I mean, the Blossoms are the ones who are actually singing He's a Rebel.
They gave the Crystals the credit.
Yes.
So doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I know. Here's the Crystals, but really the Blossoms with He's a Rebel.
See the way he walks down the street. That's the way he shuffles his feet.
My hole is head up high.
That is funny.
He's my guy.
He's a Rebel by the Crystals, maybe.
But really the Blossoms.
But really the Blossoms. That is too funny.
I know. I don't know.
The facts you come up with are fascinating.
I was going, why didn't they pitch a fit, you know? I don't know why they never changed it.
The Blossoms could have gone off and had a great career. You never know.
I know. But I think that Darlene Love, I think she moved. I think she went on to sing songs. I remember her name. Uh-huh. Okay, so we're going to go to 1979. One hit wonder British musician M went to number one on the U.S. singles chart with Pop Music. The song, often categorized as new wave and considered one of the first singles in this genre to top the Hot 100. It was also one of the first synthesizer-driven tracks to top the chart. M was Robin Scott, who scored the UK top 40 hit. Music was number two in the UK. Here is M with pop music. I didn't know if you were going to find this or not.
Oh, I did. It took a little bit to find it, but I did.
Welcome, Captain.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun stuff.
Oh, you've never heard this song before?
I don't think so.
Oh, I totally remembered after I started reading.
It's kind of got a Ghostbusters type thing to it.
Oh, yeah. There you go. It does kind of go off that, huh?
Yeah. This is Pop Music by Robin Scott and Emma. Yeah, that sounds like Ghostbusters. It sounds like
pop music, pop.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Interesting. I wasn't too much into techno stuff.
Yeah, techno but that was like a hit, and he played it everywhere. But I didn't know the guy's name was. I didn't know he went by M.
I didn't either.
Yeah, 1984, Billy Ocean's Caribbean Queen, No More Love on the Run, hits number one in America. The song is about a beautiful, exotic woman who seduces the singer. Ocean came up with the song by tapping out a vocal melody and then filling in the lyrics. The first verse of the song was the first version of the song was titled European Queen, No More Love on the Run, which was released in the UK. And then there was another one, a different one, released in Africa that was African Queen. But here's Billy Ocean with the one we know, Caribbean Queen.
Just simply awesome. I got this off a list of Mother's Day songs.
Really?
Yeah, Mother's Day songs.
What? That is so funny.
That's funny. Caribbean Queen, Billy Ocean. I always get the names mixed up. Billy Ocean mixed up with Billy Idol.
Oh, totally two different people.
I know, two totally different people.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess you're right. He was changing his girls from across the one in the UK, one in the America, and one in Africa, Caribbean, Africa. And
yeah. Hey, I wrote this for you, baby. I wrote this for you, baby. Then he goes to Africa. I wrote this for you, baby. Caribbean. No. I wrote this for you, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever, dude. All right, here's another big faker in 1990.
A big faker.
Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice hits number one in the U.S., marking the first time a rapper has topped the charts. Born and raised in middle-class Dallas suburbia as Robert Van Winkle, his original bio distributed to the music press with the album when the album was released is full of artificial flavor, suggesting he grew up among gangs in rough Miami neighborhood and went to school with Luther Campbell from Two Live Crew. Further fabrications found that the composer credited the songs which made mention of Queen, whose David Bowie collaborated under Pressure, is clearly a basis from the track. This is later corrected with the members of Queen accredited as the writers. Over the last few years, there was backlash against rappers who didn't live out their rhymes. Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer fell fast, being replaced by Naughty by Nature and Dr. Dre. So here is Mr. Robert Van Winkle, a.k.a. Vanilla Ice, with Ice Ice Baby.
Well, we're waiting. Now I have a theory about.
Well, we could dance.
I have a theory as to why they went after him on the copyright stuff. Because this song took off and became a hit real fast.
Yeah.
And they wanted that money. If it hadn't been a hit, they wouldn't have said squat about it, you know. But everybody liked it. Everybody liked it. He was selling records. They go, oh, we need a piece of that action.
stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance. You could just look at him in the way that he dressed. You could tell he did not grow up in no hood in Miami. I can tell you that.
Yeah, but I mean, in reality, though, aren't they all putting on a facade?
Of course.
Aren't they all putting on a facade? They're not really who they are in the videos and all that stuff. Ice, Ice Baby, Vanilla Ice.
Right. He wasn't Robert Van Winkle. He was Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, exactly.
He was Nella. He was.
I can't remember who the rapper was, but I saw him on a talk show, and he comes out. He's dressed nice in a nice suit, you know. Comes out and the host goes, "Oh, I expected you to come out all blinged up with girls hanging off you and all this and that." He goes, "Oh no, no, that's just my facade for making records.
Oh yeah,
that's not who I really am." And I thought, oh, well, how honest is this guy to come out and say that, you know? And yeah, they're all, it's all a big facade. It's all, yeah. What band out there that's making it, you know, what band out there isn't putting on a stage act? You know, there's somebody, they're not really who they really are. You know, I don't know.
They're performing.
Performers. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Lastly, on our list, we'll
I got to admit, I'm, as you can probably tell, Dina Joe, I was a fan of Vanilla Ice.
Oh, well, that's okay. I just was reading that, and I was like, didn't you be a
I believe tell. His name. I believe his name is really Vanilla Ice, and not that, you know, whatever his real name
Mr. Van Winkle?
Yeah, that's not real. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. 2001. I love this lady. American singer Mary J. Blige hits number one with Family Affair on the Billboard Hot 100 for the first 6 weeks. It is the singer's first single to top the charts. Family Affair was written by Blige, her brother Bruce, and Carmella and Mike and Dr. Dre. The title never appeared in the lyrics. You know it's in the line. You know it by its line. Mary J is in the spot tonight, gonna make you feel all right. So here we go. Miss Mary J. Blige with Family Affair.
Mary J. Blige, Family Affair.
Oh no.
What happened, Mary J?
Oh no.
Mary J, where are you?
I didn't do it, people. I didn't do it, but get up and dance.
Get out of the water. Get out of the water. Mary J. Blige, what did you do to us? You've just all been shark bit. Yeah,
that
baby.
Was Tom. What did Tom just do to us? What did poor Ralph walk into?
I couldn't resist. It was sitting there right next. And I go, no, I got to do that. Thank you, Dina Joe. What a great list.
You're welcome.
Hey, yeah, and this weekend on our Friday show, we're going to go ahead and play these the songs from this week all the way through for our two-hour show this Friday. And as a program note, next Friday, looking ahead, I've been working on this list of songs that are just instrumentals. And they're instrumental. They're not like the greatest and all. They're the ones that the old man likes. Instrumentals that the old man has liked throughout the years growing up with. And so these instrumentals go back to, you know, they're back from the 50s all the way to current and that kind of stuff. So that's next Friday. So we'll have that'll be a lot of fun. That'll be a lot of fun list.
Poor Rounding Third says you've replaced his stripper music with Baby Shark.
Well, that's because I kind of had a feeling, you know, he was sitting there waiting for that stripper song. He goes, yeah, they're going to do the stripper song. Oh, Baby Shark.
I was like, what did he just do? Why did Mary Kay just end?
Yeah. I set everybody up for a shark bite. You got shark bite. Remember when you used to get Rick rolled? They do the.
I never knew what that was until you talked. Until you and your son talked about it on that when you were on Dreadnought.
Yeah,
you were talking about being Rickrolled, and I'm like, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah, you'd set everybody up. You set them all up, and then they'd like. There was a phone number you used to be able to call to. Hey, you got a phone call? They left you a message here. You need to call this number back. And so you'd punch in the number, and as soon as it rang through and it'd pick up, it'd be like the Rick Astley. The Rick Astley singing his one song.
Never gonna give up. Never gonna give up. Yeah, never gonna give it up. Never gonna give up.
You've just been Rickrolled. Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Wolf T. Price, for stopping by, man. Hey, you guys got a podcast going today? You got a podcast going on today? Just ask it. If you do, what time you're gonna pull it off and so people can know. Oh, 7 PM. 7 PM tonight. Check out Wolf T. Price. What is it? What's the name of your podcast? Just Woke Up?
It's Woke Up.
It calls it Just Woke Up.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's 7 p.m. Eastern or 7 p.m. Central.
He says p.m. Oh, yeah. I don't know what if it's Central and all that. But
he's in the Central time zone, so that's Central 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dina, Joe, and Eric. Okay, if you missed this show and you're just getting in here, you can always catch it on the rebound. 11 a.m. It is on. It is rebroadcast on the WESN Epic Strategies Network. You can download that app for your phones, or you can go to their website and listen to it there. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And if you're new to the show, hit that follow button. Hit that follow button. We are 8 followers away from 1,900 followers. So help us out there. Hit that. Hit that. No, Ralph, you did it wrong. It ain't the WWSN. It's the WESN. Oh, great. Oh. Ralph must still not be feeling good. Oof. It's those it's those meds, Ralph. It's those meds. Oh, yeah. Oh, and you're letting him know. Good. Yeah, we, Dina Joe, are going to work on your promos for you.
Oh, you're still sick? Oh, Ralph. Oh,
get better, Ralph. Jeez. Yeah. It's not fun being sick.
Lots of liquids.
Well, you know, the weather change and all this and that, you know, it happens.
Oh, yeah.
It happens every year.
Barometric pressure can do it too.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
I get like sinusy. It
happens every year. It's not COVID. It's like, you know, it's the change of the weather. Come on. Not everything is COVID. I like saying it like that.
Golly.
Well, we had a good time. Let's see, we got tomorrow's show coming up.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, tomorrow. We're gonna call it Thursday Coffee. We have our coffee show tomorrow, Thursday. Man, this week is ripped by pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I know it's already. I'm like, goodness gracious.
Yeah, going by fast, man. Hey, and you know what? What else is going by real fast? And what's going to happen? Baby Ava's going to be here to see Grandma Gigi real soon. Yay. Mm-hmm. Little baby Ava. What's Ava's middle name?
Well, in case you missed it, the Atlanta Braves are World Series champions.
Yeah, that was a good game. That was a good game. I watched that last night. The Braves, they slapped
first
them.
First World Series win in 26 years.
Yeah, gave them a smack. Gave them a smack down. It was good. There was no... There was no even looking like Houston was going to do anything in that game, Eric. I watched it. I mean, the first inning comes up, they put some men on base, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe Houston's going to make a game out of it. Nope, that was it. That was the only chance they had right there. Atlanta gets up there and starts banking home runs, and they were hitting the ball. They were really hitting the ball good. So congratulations, Atlanta. Atlanta
yeah,
Hawks.
It was a good game. I didn't get. I didn't watch the end of it, but I watched some of it, and it was.
Oh yeah.
The Astros pitcher, man, he was just striking them when we were sitting down and eating.
Oh yeah.
Like strike, 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 strike. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh.
That kid that they had That kid they had starting pitching that from Houston, that guy can throw the ball. Damn, well, they all could. They could all throw the ball really good. And they did have a good point. The sportscasters did have a good point. Baseball isn't really baseball anymore. It's turned into like a chess game. Everything's strategic. You know, they rearrange the infield. You know, they shift it all to one side. And it's all turned into a big strategy thing. It's a big chess game, you know.
Yeah.
Just get back to playing baseball. Oh, that's what these guys are saying.
Okay, that one play when that guy ran to first, but I don't remember the teams, but he ran to first, and he literally fell. He literally stepped on the pitcher's ankle.
The pitcher's ankle, yeah.
He didn't even hit the base. And I don't know why they didn't challenge that, but oh, my gosh. And that guy still just walked over to the base. I was like, how did his ankle not break? He just stepped on his ankle.
Well, the thing is, though, they couldn't – now, if they'd have been – if Atlanta had been a little more aware of what's going on and they tagged him, he'd have been out. If they could have tagged him before he got to the base. But he didn't step on the base, and he just leisurely walks back and stands on the base, so he's safe. So I can understand why they didn't call him out. But I'm glad he didn't bust that guy's ankle. Good grief.
It was crazy. Man,
he slammed on that ankle. Yeah.
All right, Eric, it's your turn now.
Yeah. Well, I think since it's an hour and 15 minutes in the show, we're getting ready to start heading on out of here.
Yeah.
Hey, well, you started it, Dana Jo.
I know.
All that energy you got wrapped up inside you that's oozing out everywhere. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate you. We're here Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific time. We're here to knock you up in the morning. And we just appreciate you coming in. If you're new to the show, hit that follow button. Help us get to 1,900 followers. We're only a handful away. Eric, you want to plug some shows? Go right ahead, buddy.
Well, coming up on Podbean Live, other than Wolf T. Price doing a show a little bit later, you may have like impromptu shows from like John DeVito, and you might even have Milk Dog throughout the day, so be on lookout for them and Frankie D around 3 p.m. Eastern time today. And primetime, the Beans and Weenie show is on at its new time of 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so be on lookout for them, and hopefully they got their audio issues on Pod being corrected, and then Slightly Serious at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. And and I know we'll be back tomorrow morning, and also here's hoping that Ralph starts feeling better soon and has new shows planned either later in the week or next week, depending on how he feels. And then, of course, the It's Doomsday podcast, Dude Sean and Crazy Train and many more great podcast friends.
Yes, a lot of good shows. You want to hear Eric be a co-host on another show? Check out that Slightly Serious show. I was in there a little bit yesterday listening to it on a different avenue, not Podbean. I sneak in so nobody knows the old man's in your show.
Eric.
Well, we have Facebook, Twitch, and DLive since, you know, YouTube apparently does not like Slightly Serious.
Right. But anyway, check out Eric on his co-hosting gig with Slightly Serious. It's a good show.
Well, I'm probably will be there too.
Good.
And now, hold on. I can't work my mouse and punch this at the same time. And now, a word from Miss Energy herself, Dana Jo.
Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. Thanks so much for joining us today, you guys. We love you guys so much. Have a great rest of your day. Ralph, feel better. And everybody else, have a great rest of your day. See you later on Podbean. Bye.
Take it easy, cowgirl. Take it easy. Nina Jones.
Watch out, Road. Here I come.
Look at Roundy Third. Save the possums. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Have a great Wednesday. Tune in tomorrow for our Thursday show. And just have a great day. Be safe out there. Do random acts of kindness. Remember all your courtesy, please, and thank yous. And just be a nice person. Walk around with a smile on your face. Get five people to smile back at you. That's the smile challenge. And just have a great day. Good times. Thank you, everybody. We're out of here. Music's done. We'll see you tomorrow.
Love you and God bless you. Bye. We'll see you again tomorrow. Great hanging out with you today.
Later, Gators.